always admired Rebecca from afar and was frankly like just intimidated by how she just seemed to have everything together, building something much more like in the forward facing of consumers' lives, like being the name of the brand. And meeting her and seeing her humility, but also like tenacity and approachability, I was like, wow, she is so much more than you would even hope. And if you like already admire her, just get to know her because it gets better.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. Designer and entrepreneur Rebecca Minkoff started her uber-successful fashion brand back in 2005. Today, the brand is known all over the world. But Rebecca, she isn't one to sit back and focus on her own success. She has always been one to try and help others, especially other female entrepreneurs. Recently, she started the Female Founder Collective, a network of businesses led by women supporting women. Their mission? To enable and empower female-owned and led businesses to positively impact communities, both socially and economically. The FFC recently partnered with Birchbox, the leading beauty and grooming subscription box, with over 2.5 million customers. Birchbox's co-founder and CEO, Katia Buchamp, was inspired to find a way to support the FFC's mission. In fact, Katia and Rebecca have become incredibly close, working together to help women around the world achieve their entrepreneurial dreams. I had the opportunity to sit down with both of them together. I spoke with Rebecca and Katia earlier this summer, and they just seemed to have this great symbiotic relationship. I knew that these two powerful women together were going to be unstoppable in changing the business world for females for years to come. I wanted to know more about how they met and how they came together and teamed up.
So I started at the end of 18, really with the idea that I was tired of there not being enough females in prominent leadership positions. I wanted to start more conversations about actual things one can do to bridge the gender pay gap. And I also wanted to give women a community and an education in case they started their businesses with a passion, as most people do, but find that there's a gap within what they know and what they need to know. And so how do you get a community of founders, teaching founders, sharing resources, and then seeing a symbol? As a mother, you know, my purchasing decisions are informed by a lot of symbols, whether it's organic or non-GMO. So could you take that same approach and really begin to identify products and services as women-owned and flow more money to these women and thus, you know, help take the wage gap conversation and shrink it over hopefully our lifetime so that our daughters don't have to talk about this, you know what?
Yeah, it's an incredible time and there is a lot of change. Obviously, right now, a lot of change in a lot of different ways. And female entrepreneurship and female founders, we tend to have a lot on this show, how success happens. And I'm always inspired. And it's so great that you've created this, even, you know, while you're running a global business. So how did you form this friendship, I guess, first, or partnership with Katia?
So we met on an airplane. That was a really incredible trip. Marie Claire had this event called the Power Trip, where they flew out 100 women founders or entrepreneurs from New York City to San Francisco to meet up with another 100 founders. And I knew we had been booked to be on this TV show. So at the end of the flight, I kind of came up to her and it felt like high school. And I was like, are you Katia? Like, I think we're going to be doing a TV show together. And we talked a little bit, but the real bonding took place when we were forced to spend 12 hours a day together, 5 days a week for a month, being judges on the show. And I just was in awe of her, how smart she was, one, and how funny and kind she was. And we began to be friends from there.
And Katia, did you feel the same way when you were forced to be with Rebecca for all that time? Or were you like, I need to get out of here?
I always admired Rebecca from afar and was frankly like just intimidated by how she just seemed to have everything together, building something much more like in the forward facing of consumers' lives, like being the name of the brand. And meeting her and seeing her humility, but also like tenacity and approachability, I was like, wow, she is so much more than you would even hope. And if you like already admire her, just get to know her because it gets better.
Yeah, I know that's great in terms of you guys coming together like that as friends first. So Rebecca, how did it turn into and how did you get Kati involved with Female Founders?
So I was kind of telling her about what I was thinking about launching and doing. And she said, you know, I want to help. There was no hesitancy. And she was able to really put the full muscle of her company behind this and embraced it in a way that surpassed anything. You know, I thought maybe she was just going to be giving me a courtesy, like, yeah, we'll slap the symbol on the box because I'm a female founder. But she really took it to a whole other level that was incredible and then came back for more. So I'm honored that she really embraced what the true meaning of this is.
Yeah. And when you talk about the true meaning of this and your collective, what really is that true meaning? And what does it mean aside from, you know, putting a logo on a box, but what is the true meaning and what is the real essence of having these partners?
I think that at the end of the day, we want women to get paid as much as men. We want the 12 million women-owned businesses in the U.S. alone to survive and thrive. And so when you make a Birch Box and you put in all female founders and you expose that to the tens of millions of customers that Birchbox has, you're giving people, you know, new products to try and buy, new businesses to support, and hopefully that keeps growing. And then that's just what's in the box. And then with all the partnerships and the amplification of it, it just exposes more people that there is a community here and you can support it even if you're not a female founder. It's real low lift. Just look for the symbol or go to our directory and start changing your behavior to really just take an inventory. Is 50% of your purchases female owned, and we can all do something without much effort.
Kati, when you were starting Birchbox, being a female, did you run into a lot of challenges, whether raising money or just even starting your business, even though you were focused on basically a female demographic?
Yeah, we were 100% focused on a female demographic. I've been reflecting on this more, and I think it's in retrospect that I realize a lot of what was going on in the early days, because I think I was really naive as somebody who went to a female dominated college, Vassar College, and then went to Harvard Business School, honestly, just not even thinking that there was work left to do, just kind of thanking my mom and being like, great, we're all here, everyone's listening. And then with the power of Harvard behind us, I think we had great traction. We were able to get conversations early on. And it was hard to get people early on giving money to Birchbox, but I never attributed it to because I was a woman. I always attributed it to the fact that there was nothing else like us. And that's really hard to take the first check in, to be the first check in on a business where you can't be like, oh, it's the Zoom for dogs, you know?
Right.
So being early, that's really what I thought about. But I mean, honestly, in retrospect, I think that it is just so much harder to be heard as a woman. And I find myself like saying it a lot that our first step is just being heard. And especially when you're doing a business where it's kind of a superficial category called beauty and fashion, right? Very discretionary, very much about absolutely like our superficial selves. It almost seems to people that you're just interested and passionate and a hobbyist. So they don't take the business opportunity as seriously because they just think this is your interest. And I just remember having to be like, just to be clear, I am personally not interested,
right.
Like not super interested in beauty. I mean, interested reasonably, but I'm not passionate. I'm not reading these magazines. That's not who I am. And that's our point, is that if you're not passionate about this category, it's confusing and we can do better.
Yeah. And how would you say, just in terms of being a female, and either Rebecca or Katia, how much do you think has, just go back 10 years, right? And how much has really changed for females, really, in terms of building businesses, running businesses? Have we seen dramatic changes? Have we seen really progress, especially thinking now just what's going on with, you know, obviously a lot of, we're sitting here in the middle of the pandemic and Black Lives Matter movement and advocacy. But for females, what have things really changed?
I think that they've changed, but not drastic enough. I think that when you see that we're just still having this conversation and we shouldn't be, it's 2020. So I think that it's slightly better, probably only for white women, you know what I mean? Sadly. And there's a whole underbelly of work to get done with women of color, that people are, the surface is just being scratched. And I think that's coming to a head as more people are becoming, I hope, more infuriated at the injustice of what's occurring now, that if you want to support women, it's, you also have to like peel under the blankets and like start looking at women of color.
Yeah. Do you think with obviously with what's happened now, this is really raising awareness kind of on all levels, whether it's minorities and do you think we're actually going to see real change from this?
The only way you're going to see real change is if it's not fleeting and if it's not someone's Instagram post.
Exactly. And because Instagram posts, social media, I mean, that's great and it's for the day. But real change, how does real change start? Does it start within the corporations and actual hirings? And because that's where I also see the biggest discrepancy. When I'm in a room and I'm dealing with big companies and you look around and yes, the majority is white and male. What do these companies have to do to make those changes? Or how eventually will they? Is it through things that you're doing now and programs? Is there a secret formula or does it just take time?
I mean, I think the thing that we're all recognizing is the excuse that things are hard and take time is not acceptable. And as entrepreneurs, we all know that nothing that sounds like I don't know what to do next has ever stopped us. It's been an excuse and it's been a bad excuse. And I think it's a mix because I do think that the work is personal and there's a lot that companies can do, but it's really important that we're taking the time to actually engage in this conversation and actually educate ourselves so that it isn't about a moment and a fleeting revolt. It is about something that actually rewires how we think as people and face what we haven't done and not let that hold us back and be bold about change.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. And I think this is really this moment in time is going to actually help to change things and not just be another kind of fleeting moment that we don't see change. So together, I guess, working together and having this relationship, do you guys motivate each other? Do you inspire each other? How often are you talking? Like, are you guys really buddies now or like business associates? What?
How? I mean, we're definitely friends. It just went, I think Becky and I are wired similarly in the sense that I think neither of us really like to have small talk. So it got real fast. And one thing that I think it's spoken a lot about entrepreneurs, but I think it's especially true when you're not the typical entrepreneur, is that it feels very lonely because on the worst and hardest days when you want to hide, you think that you are having a solitary experience that is because you are not worthy or you are not good enough. And talking about that with Becky is probably like the first time that I realized we could be actual friends and we could be real with each other and talk about the things that weren't going well in our businesses and weren't going well with what we were trying to accomplish. And it wasn't embarrassing. And it actually helped me realize that this is the journey of growing as a leader, as a human, is that you have to figure out how to navigate the hard. And that's a part of earning your stripes. But it just felt so taboo before. It felt like that's not something you could just really get into with another person. And that's how our friendship was forged. But then there's so much more, you know, we have lots of kids between us, great spouses and relationships with that. So I think we were both kind of trying to build this life of why not have our cake and eat it too. And I personally think that that's great to try to do that, but it's also great to have somebody to talk to when it's not quite working out.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a great thing that you've found, especially because I look at you two as being these really female founders who've built incredible global businesses. And you just mentioned something about feeling not worthy or you know, it might be self-esteem or, you know, being an entrepreneur is a roller coaster. And I think in a lot of ways, the old method was just stick up your chin and everything's great, everything's perfect. And I think that as an entrepreneur and as a guy too, I just think it must be so reassuring to be able to talk to someone like that. And has that been the same for you, Rebecca, and being able to be open like that? And has that really helped you as well?
Yeah, I think that people sort of sometimes adopt actions with how they see other people being. And if I can I swear on this?
Yeah, podcast? You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Bringing kids,
sometimes
swear,
I feel
whatever.
Like, okay. Sometimes I feel like it's this big dick contest, you know, like yeah. I've been to a number of things where everyone's always like, and here's mine and I'm amazing and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, no one ever learns that way. It's just bragging. And so I think in addition to Katya, finding women you can be vulnerable with and you can share struggle with. I mean, I've shared more with probably Katya about my business than anyone else. And it's just like, I don't lose by doing that. I have someone who feels like understands and can offer support and guidance and advice. And it wasn't dangerous, you know? And I think women, once they realize they don't have to be part of the big dick contest, get a lot further because then true support starts.
It's impossible for it to happen if you're feeling like you can't actually share things.
Right,
right. You truly can't do it unless you can say like scary words out of your mouth, come out and you're like, I don't think I've ever said those words out loud. Those have been words in my head. Like, yeah. Existential questions, right? About your business's viability, about what's going to come next. And I think we are all so filtered all the time that in so many ways, like a lot of what's happening with women finally coming together and fighting for women, it's like the biggest thing that's changing is people are being specific about their challenges and specific about their questions. And that's where things happen, right? Where we can say, no, this is how much money I raised and the valuation. Actually, this is how much salary I make and this is what I was given. You know, we have to be specific. We are not helping each other when we're just kind of vaguely saying, yeah, you know, things are hard. It's a roller coaster. We have to talk about the actual things. Otherwise, it doesn't change that feeling of isolation. And it really holds us back.
More from our guests. But first, a word from our sponsors.
For business owners, saving time is everything. Because each minute saved can be put back into growing your business. So when you need a business loan, U.S. Bank makes the process quick and convenient. Meet with a banker or apply from anywhere with a simple and secure online application and get a decision in minutes. Save time with U.S. Bank so you can get back to what you do best, running your business. Apply today at usbank.com/fundmybusiness. Credit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back.
I love that authenticity and like being, like you said, you guys are like that with each other and you're both females. I'm a guy, I'm an entrepreneur too. And just, it's difficult sometimes. I get very scared to just put it out there that I'm struggling with this or I'm having problems. But the only time I've actually created real relationships is when I do that. And what's so great to talk to you two, and I think for our listeners too, to understand like we have both of you who have been so successful and it's like you're still, it sounds like you're still dealing with a lot of these issues and it's still hard.
But I think that's the fallacy. Like I think I even had this. I was like, well, when I get to be X in size, it's going to be easy and I can put up my feet up and work less. And I don't know that many people who get to do that unless they've made themselves chairman of their company. I don't know anyone who's not working like a dog still.
Yeah.
And the fallacy also that you don't hit bumps and like, I think the whole, and actually like that's a necessary part of the journey. It doesn't mean that you've just made a mistake. It's actually so critical that you face things that feel insurmountable and you get past them so that you start to develop a muscle that these things are things you can conquer. If you don't have those, if you don't show people that that's normal and people just stop the first time someone says, this is a terrible idea, because so many people told me Birchbox was a terrible idea. People that I really needed to like Birchbox said it was real dumb. And if you just stop because you're like, oh, smart person just told me, like someone I really admire, somebody that really knows this industry, somebody that really sees hundreds of thousands of businesses in a couple of years, they said that this is a bad idea. They must know. And that can be so paralyzing when you start to buy into that bullshit. And it doesn't stop there, you know?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs just today, even with some of the tapings we're doing, how many of these businesses, which are all multi-billion dollar businesses now, how much people told these same people, it will never work, it won't work. And I only imagine how many people are out there who just shut the door the minute they hear that, because it's so hard to move on. And like we were talking about, you want to stick your chest out there and be like, everything's perfect, everything's great. And you really, it sounds like there really is this new change, and especially coming from you both, of like just being real and honest. And that seems like, has it helped your businesses when you guys have been more like that?
It's helped me personally. I think my husband says this to me sometimes, and people say in a lot of different ways, but things are never as bad as they seem, and things are never as good as they seem, right? And the issue when you're lucky, I think Becky had like fits and starts, but obviously she's had tailwinds building a great brand, and so have we. And the issue when you're lucky is that you start to kind of like listen to what the outside world is saying about your value, and letting that be how you source value in yourself, how you assess your worthiness. And inevitably, if you are lucky enough to exist long enough, you will hit the headwind. And then when the outside world questions your value or says you're not valuable or completely turns on a dime, you've already trained your brain to say, this is where I get my value. So then you hate yourself. And I think the power of talking about it is reclaiming our inherent worthiness. We are not that great, not that special, and we are not that awful, and we are not stupid, and we are not in like failures inevitably at everything we do, and reclaiming that we get to decide that we're worthy, period, and that we are not going to be swung by the outside perception of us is a personally huge part of reinvigorating my energy in being an entrepreneur at all.
I could imagine both of you, because of the media attention you get and because of built such great brands, that it's very easy to place your worthiness or what you are on those brands and businesses. And I would imagine it sounds like you guys have really worked on that and realized that you achieve that value from the inside and not from the outside, regardless of how great you guys have done from what it looks like from the outside. And to me, I mean, that's extremely, extremely inspiring. Let me ask you, do you, having this relationship with each other, and I'm sure you have other relationships with other people who are part of the Female Founder Collective, have you found you're able to have similar relationships with entrepreneurs that are males?
Well, I guess it's cheating. I mean, I have that kind of relationship with my brother, but he's my co-founder. So I can't really say that that's the case. I don't know that it would be appropriate for me to spend as much time with a male entrepreneur, just in general, as I spend with Katya or some of these other women. Like if my husband's like, you're going to go out and have drinks with him again? What?
He's a really smart guy.
He's so smart. I've definitely been vulnerable with some people within our industry for sure. But I don't know that it's the same amount of time spent. Because also, I think what's nice about Katya is like, she's also my friend. So we actually genuinely hang out and enjoy each other. So that kind of crosses off more boxes.
No, it's totally cool. It's like you both have these brands and businesses and you can be friends and you can also speak honestly and openly. I mean, it would sound like having a co-founder or partner. And as they say, and I'm wondering if you guys would agree, sometimes it gets lonely at the top.
Yes, it is extremely lonely. And creating these friendships where you can be open and also, I think, role model being open and vulnerable really helps it be less lonely. I think even internally at Birchbox, like the biggest mistake I've ever made was thinking that my job was to protect others from the hard things, which is also always an ego move of protecting yourself from really admitting that you don't know what you're doing, instead of actually embracing and celebrating that nobody knows what they're doing when they're stretching all the time. And yeah, it's a good sign that you're feeling stretched, and the job is to get used to feeling uncomfortable in it. And that's something that I didn't appreciate in kind of the first part of this journey. And I really felt unhappy because it was so lonely.
Yeah. So what would you guys say, you know, we have a lot of, for in our audience, females that are starting out on their journey, they are taking the dive. From everything you've experienced, everything you learn, I guess, looking at it, maybe speaking to your own selves 10 years ago or 15 years or whatever it may have been, what advice would you give to that younger you, let's say, or potentially one of our listeners?
I'm going to give advice that I took or just did. I think there is a lot of assumptions that whatever you do is going to be easy. You're going to be Instagram famous. You're going to get to put your feet up and not work that hard, or that once you reach, like we spoke about earlier, a certain status of your business, that it won't be hard anymore. And I really think you have to just take the pledge. You have to do this job, or you have to love what you do so much that you would do it for nothing, because you have to have that much desire to keep going. Because I liken it to those dolls that get hit and then you punch them and they rise back up. That's being an entrepreneur.
Whack-a-mole.
And yes, a whack-a-mole. So unless you are ready to be a whack-a-mole for the rest of your career, I haven't personally experienced it being different. And that doesn't make it bad. It just makes it real. So just having real clarity, like, I would do this job for free because I love it so much.
How about you, Katya?
I mean, honestly, I think it's really in the same camp as Becky's. I, like, midway through this journey, was experiencing what felt like one of the hardest things any person would ever go through, and just felt really sorry for myself. And I remember going to speak to our first investor, who is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay.
And I was just feeling really low. And so he wanted to just talk. That was the agenda. And he said, tell me about your experience. And I said, I was just telling him everything, the hardships that were coming externally in the funding environment and the challenges coming from competition and what that was doing to the supply chain and how the investors were behaving and reacting. And I was just going on and on for like 10 minutes. And Gary's like, yes, that sounds exceptionally hard. That sounds exceptionally hard. And then when I was like, took a breath, he said, so this is an exceptionally hard experience. And I was like, yes. And he said, did you set out to have an exceptional career? Like, isn't that what entrepreneurs are doing? And I was like, why, yes. And everything since then has been like, this is what I signed up for, to that point. And that's one thing, like, sign up knowing it's going to be exceptionally hard if you're striving for exceptional. And then relatedly, kind of my recent fight is, fuck hindsight. I want to enjoy things in the moment. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have to have hindsight to learn just feels so unfair as a human.
Yeah.
And why are we so regretful of the challenges when they're happening and so grateful for them after? So I'm really striving to, like, be in moment grateful when things feel really hard. And that's a big challenge. But I honestly think you can rewire if you just practice.
So moving forward in the little time we have left, for you both, is there plans to work together in more of a capacity? I mean, like, you guys seem like you guys would be perfect partners, like, in build, and you are in this partnership that you have, but have you thought of potentially maybe doing something a little bit bigger together?
We've talked about it.
Phase two, when we're retired, we can start our next company, Katya.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I think life is long and we both have a lot of energy to face challenging things, but we haven't made any plans yet.
Well, hopefully soon enough in one day. And I'll leave it at, you guys are both such great influences. I am so lucky to have two daughters. I'm so lucky to have two people like you who've built these incredible companies, because, you know, if I look back when I was a child, I don't think if I was a girl and you guys going back, like, there were many role models per se. And now it's such a blessing to know that if they have an interest in doing something, they have people they could look to who they could say, you know what, those people did it, so could I.
I love that. Really? Definitely.
Thank you.
We're creating an army of them.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys continue to do what you're doing. I'm so glad for joining us on Entrepreneur. I would love to interview you each on your own stories. I am sure so many people want to hear about and all the ups and downs and challenges. But I think even more importantly today, what you guys got across is, you know, we've highlighted a lot of female entrepreneurs on this show, and just keep inspiring. And thank you so much for agreeing to both come on together and do this for us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You got it. Enjoy.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuckman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.